You'll be taken there. Go home and start packing.
Can't I eat my hamburger and drink? I'd suggest you start packing right away.
Behind Bibleman, a man and woman had lined up. Reflexively, he got out of their way, trying to hold on to his tray of food, feeling dizzy.
"A charbroiled steak sandwich," the man said. "Onion rings, root beer, and that's it."
The robot said, "Care to buy into the contest? Terrific prizes." It flashed the odds on its display panel.
When Bob Bibleman unlocked the door of his one-room apartment, his telephone was on. It was looking for him.
"There you are," the telephone said.
"I'm not going to do it," Bibleman said.
"Sure you are," the phone said. "Do you know who this is? Read over your certificate, your first prize legal form. You hold the rank of Shave Tail. I'm Major Casals. You're under my jurisdiction. If I tell you to piss purple, you'll piss purple. How soon can you be on a transplant rocket? Do you have friends you want to say goodbye to? A sweetheart, perhaps? Your mother?
Am I coming back?" Bibleman said with anger. "I mean, who are we fighting, this college? For that matter, what college is it? Who is on the faculty? Is it a liberal arts college, or does it specialize in the hard sciences? Is it government-sponsored? Does it offer..."
"Just calm down," Major Casal said quietly.
Bibleman seated himself. He discovered that his hands were shaking. To himself, he thought, "I was born in the wrong century. 100 years ago, this wouldn't have happened, and 100 years from now, it will be illegal. What I need is a lawyer." His life had been a quiet one. He had, over the years, advanced to the modest position of floating home salesman. For a man 22 years old, that wasn't bad. He almost owned his one-room apartment, that is, he rented with an option to buy. It was a small life, as lives went. He did not ask too much, and he did not complain, normally, at what he received. Although he did not understand the tax structure that cut through his income, he accepted it. He accepted a modified state of penury the same way he accepted it when a girl would not go to bed with him. In a sense, this defined him. This was his measure. He submitted to what he did not like, and he regarded this attitude as a virtue. Most people in authority over him considered him a good person. As to those over whom he had authority, that was a class with 0 members. His boss at Cloud Nine Homes told him what to do, and his customers really told him what to do. The government told everyone what to do, or so he assumed. He had very few dealings with the government. That was neither a virtue nor a vice. It was simply good luck. Once he had experienced vague dreams. They had to do with giving to the poor. In high school he had read Charles Dickens, and a vivid idea of the oppressed had fixed itself in his mind to the point where he could see them. All those who did not have a one-room apartment and a job and a high school education. Certain vague place names had floated through his head, gleaned from TV, places like India, where heavy-duty machinery swept up the dying. Once a teaching machine had told him, "You have a good heart." That amazed him, not that a machine would say so, but that it would say it to him. A girl had told him the same thing. He marveled at this. Vast forces colluding to tell him that he was not a bad person. It was a mystery and a delight. But those days had passed. He no longer read novels, and the girl had been transferred to Frankfurt. Now he had been set up by a robot, a cheap machine, to shovel shit in the boonies, dragooned by a mechanical scam that was probably pulling citizens off the streets in record numbers. This was not a college he was going to. He had won nothing. He had won a stint at some kind of forced labor camp, most likely. "The exit door leads in," he thought to himself. Which is to say, when they want you, they already have you. All they need is the paperwork. And a computer can process the forms...